Welcome back to the Sad Girls Club. This is your host. And I think I just want to talk about basically that moment in time when you feel sad and alone and like nobody's there for you. For me, that happens quite frequently. And I do know that I do have friends that do care. And that, they do love and care about me and all that stuff, but, like, you know, in those points in time, in that specific point in time, you're just, you don't feel that kind of emotion. You feel like there's nobody there for you. You're gonna be alone for a very long time, and that's what I genuinely feel a lot. It's not easy. Especially, and I'm like, no, actually, I was gonna say especially for young people, but in reality, it's not easy for people of whatever age range. It doesn't matter how old you are, where you come from, who you are, what, like, it doesn't matter, because it's hard. It's hard being and feeling alone, and then knowing that there's people there for you, and they tell you, hey, you can come to me at any moment in time, and tell me how you feel or whatever, but then you just sit there and you're like, well, but I don't want to be a burden to this person, so you don't go to them, and then it's like a never-ending cycle of you feeling alone, even though you know that you can go to someone, but you just don't want to feel like a burden to them, so you just sit there and, I don't know, just feel alone. I go through that a lot. I have friends, I have people that are there for me, but there's times where, like, it's just, I feel alone, and even the friends that do care about me, they go through their own things, they go through their own trial and error, they go through their own, like, problems, so, like, who am I to, like, go to them and be like, hey, I'm depressed, come help me, you know, it's not easy. I feel like I'm a big burden to my friends, and I know I shouldn't feel like that, because there's a lot of people that are, you know, they tell me the quite opposite, that I'm not a burden to them, and that I can go to them at any time, but, you know, if you've experienced that, which I'm sure a lot of people do, you understand that it's, like, it's not easy feeling reassured, especially, like, if you've gone through your own hardships. I don't have a stable family. I have a father, yes, I have a mother, and I have parents. They're there, but my dad, my father, he's always physically been there. He's always given me things, you know, spoiled me, what, you know, whatsoever. But the problem is, and I don't want to seem like a spoiled brat or like someone who's not appreciative of what I've received, but the problem with me is that I personally didn't need, and I didn't need those items. I didn't need a huge TV. I didn't need the newest Barbie or whatever. I didn't need that growing up as a kid. What I needed was a present father, emotionally present, to be there for me through what I had to go through. I'm sure that I've said it in my previous podcast that I'm pansexual, meaning I'm part of the LGBT community. But my father, my family, really, we're Latinos, and we are very, the family's, our religion is Christianity, right? And I'm not gonna say this about all Christians, because it's not, I know that I've met Christians personally, and that are, they're friends with me, and they've claimed that, no, we don't believe that homosexuals belong in hell or anything like that. That's not, we have to love them for who they are and all of that. But with Latinos, at least a good majority, they don't believe in that. They believe that homosexuality is a sin, and it's not something that should exist. It's not something that is right. It's not okay. And I grew up believing that for myself. I kind of knew that I was gay. I kind of knew I wasn't normal, I guess you could say. Since I was in elementary school, I've always, like, looked at girls, and I was like, oh my gosh, she's cute. I would kiss her, you know, like, that kind of thing, you know, innocent, but, like, I had the same feelings with girls that I had with guys, like, crushes. I've had crushes on girls, and everybody's like, oh, well, that's normal, you were just a kid, whatever. Yeah, but it never went away. It wasn't a phase. It wasn't, like, a little kid thing, because it stuck. Like I said, right now, I'm pansexual, and, but I grew up in church, since I was about, like, 5 years old. We went to church, and my father is a very strict man. At least not as much anymore, but before, in the past, he was very strict. He was very dedicated to the religion. Growing up, we were told that, you know, being homosexual was not okay. It was a sin. It was something that people that are going to hell are going, like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, it's something that, like, basically that I can't be. And I remember hearing my dad tell me that they're freaks, that they belong in hell, that they're just people that don't belong in this world, and that when Jesus Christ or when God himself comes, whatever, they're going to be severely punished. And hearing that as a kid, not even just as an 8-year, but as growing up, as far as I can comprehend, that's all I would hear. I would hear that. I would hear so many things, you know. There was a lot of rules set in my household where I couldn't do these things, couldn't do these other things, because it was just very, supposedly very much against the religion. My older brother used to live with us, and he was prevented of doing many, many things in his life, and it left both of us a huge impact. Ever since I was little, I was never told I was good enough. My dad always pushed me to do better, which, I mean, I understand on a parental point of view, like, yeah, like, you always have to push your kid to do better, but the thing was, I was never credited, I guess you can say, for the good that I've done. I was never, like, congratulated. It was more like, oh, you got this, well, you could do better, or, oh, you did this, well, this person did a lot better than you. I was compared a lot to other kids from my elementary school, by my dad. He, made me feel very worthless, and it wasn't easy. My older brother and I, we were very close when we were younger. We have a huge, huge, huge age gap. It's phenomenally how, over 10 years is our age gap, over 10 years, and, I was very close to my brother. He was more loving with me. He spent more time with me. I'm sorry, I'm getting very emotional. He was my father figure. He was my role model. He was the person that, how do I say this? He was the person that, motivated me. He made sure that I did what I could do, and he congratulated me. He always complimented me. But unfortunately, he did get married, and I mean, not unfortunately, he did get married, and we did drift apart for a while, but we've recently reconnected, and it's one of the best feelings that I could ever have, because as I got older, I felt like I lost my brother, and it was very hard. It was very hard living here with my parents. I never had, like, I didn't get support like I did when I had my brother. And My grandmother had passed away when I was about 9 years old, almost 10. And I don't know, from that point when my grandmother had passed away, I feel like I hit rock bottom. I was only 9 years old, you know. I hit rock bottom. I gave up on school. I don't know how I passed fifth grade, I guess. Moving on, and then I moved on to middle school, and that was one of the worst moments in life that I've ever experienced. I was such in a dark, dark, dark place, and I was harming myself, and I lost myself at that point. I didn't know who I was. I felt alone and scared. And I mean, I still do to this day, but not as much as middle school. Middle school was very dark for me. I don't know. It was very hard. At that point, I kind of knew that I was gay. I accepted the fact to myself that yeah, I was gay. So I mean, I'm not gonna 100% say I accepted it. I acknowledged it, but I didn't want it to be true. I didn't want to accept it. I was never homophobic. Personally, I was never racist. I was never homophobic. I was never transphobic. I just thought personally from my own life that I was a freak and I didn't belong. I believed what my dad said, but only for myself. I never believed that other gay people or other homosexual or anybody belonged in hell. I never believed that. I was very, I don't know, but at that point it was very hard for me. I was scared, I was alone and all that. I didn't have my older brother to guide me and help me whenever my parents weren't supportive or I felt alone. So as time passed, around 7th grade, I believe, I came out the closet. It was 7th or 8th grade. I came out the closet, and I felt relieved. I felt happy. I didn't feel alone. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I didn't feel alone. I felt my friends, most of them, a lot of them, from that point, they accepted who I was. They accepted my sexuality, and they didn't isolate me. And then this was, I'm pretty sure, in 8th grade. And then later on in 8th grade, it was, I don't know how to explain this, but I lost a very, very important friend. It was at the very end of 8th grade. He was when, like I said before, my brother wasn't around at this point for me, so I had met someone else, and he was like my gay best friend. He was like a brother to me, and he was basically my everything. He loved me for who I was. He took care of me. He reassured me many, many times that I was perfectly normal, that it wasn't wrong for me to be who I am. He really, like, he motivated me when I needed to, when I needed it. He was just there. Well, he had committed suicide because he was being tremendously bullied for being gay, for being who he was, and it took such a huge toll on me. Once again, I was scared. I had to come to school the day after that he the because he had committed himself in the middle of the night, and that the day after, I had to come to school and deal with people who I didn't want to deal with teachers I didn't want to deal with, and I convinced myself before I went to school that I wasn't gonna cry, that I was gonna be strong. I was just gonna ignore others and not deal with people. But then I saw a very close friend of mine, and I just broke down. I saw her, and she apologized to me, and I just broke down crying, and she held me and reassured me and helped me through it. It was a very hard time for me. I had lost someone that I truly cared about. I loved him to death. He was like a sibling to me. And it was very hard. It was a very hard point in my life. I had already lost two important people to death, and then I had lost my brother to, you know, we just drifted. So I felt like I had lost three important people in my life, and I just felt like I couldn't deal with it. So I started harming myself more and more and more and more and more, and it was just a hard time for me. I moved on to high school, and I guess I could say I got better with the self-harm. I didn't do it anymore. I stopped. It wasn't easy. It was very hard. But I had friends who helped me through it. I'm very thankful to those people, you know. But it's kind of hard to like talk about it. But so moving on, high school. I stopped the self-harming, but my depression didn't get any better. I was very secluded. There was points where I didn't do assignments in class, and I just didn't care, because I just didn't care, you know. But I guess it pushed me over to the point, because my parents were very they were on my ass about it, you know, about school and like what was going on. And I guess at one point I snapped and I was angry, and I told my mom, I think it was about sophomore year, that I told my mom that I was fed up and that I couldn't deal with it, that I've tried to commit suicide many times, and I guess that, like, gave her a wake-up call, you know, hearing, I don't blame her. Like, I mean, hearing your daughter saying that she has tried to commit suicide many, many times in her lifetime, and then you not even knowing about it, I guess I can see that it was very hard for my mom when I did that. And I do pity, I do feel bad, but I guess it was something that needed to be said, because after that, you know, my parents had decided that it was time for me to go to therapy, and I did end up getting on medication, which I still do take today, but because of that, I did, thankfully, I earned a mother, you know. My mother finally, you know, she sat down and listened to me. I expressed my emotions. I told her how I felt about things, and she listened, and she understood what I was going through, and she, I don't know, she stepped up as a mother, I guess you can say. So, that, I mean, I guess you can say that I was very thankful that I finally had snapped, I guess, and said something. Because, you know, like I said, I finally got my mother. I finally was able to speak to her and tell her things that I wouldn't be able to tell her if we had stayed the same, like, all these years. And to this day, I'm still very much thankful that I said something, and that now she's trying very hardest to help me do anything to help me through whatever I'm going through, you know. She talks to me, we go out now, we like have a little girls day thing, we talk more, I'm able to tell her more secrets that I probably would have never told her before in the past if we had that same relationship, you know, that we had before. And Ever since then, I don't know, I did come out to my parents. I came out to my mom first. I think it was freshman year, before, the therapy thing. And then I came out to my dad spring break of freshman year, and it wasn't easy. He wasn't happy, obviously. He was very, very angry. He claimed, he stated that I was no longer to allow my friends to come over. My girlfriend, not my, not relationship, but like friends that were females, I wasn't allowed to bring them over. I wasn't allowed to have them sleep over anymore, because of course, like any other homophobic parent would assume, he assumed that I was having sex with them, or that I had a crush on them, or some stupid garbage like that, acting as if, gay people can't have friends with their same gender. But it was whatever. I ended up not staying home. I ended up was getting kicked out. I ended up staying at my brother's house for a couple days. We had recently somewhat rekindled our relationship, and I was very happy about that. I had called him that very day, that very night that I had came out to my dad, because I feared, I don't know, I was just very scared. I was crying, I was hysterical. He was very, my dad had left the house very angry. It wasn't an easy task for me to do, but I was kind of sick and tired of lying, and I was sick and tired of him and hearing him insulting so many people that I've cared about. Me, like, I was tired of him insulting me without him even knowing that he was doing it. I don't know, I was just very angry. So I had decided, it's time for me to come out the closet. So I did it, and like I said, kicked out the house. I stayed at my brother's house for a few days. It was great. I hung around with the kids. I was off. My brother even offered to, like, you can he offered for me to live there, and I didn't take that chance, because I was like, oh well, at that point in time, I wasn't very comfortable with his wife. She, I don't know. It wasn't like I didn't like her or anything like that. It was more like I'm not very comfortable with people. And at that time, I was very I guess you could say off put by her. I don't know. I really don't know how to explain it. But moving on. I didn't take the chance. Like, I was only 16, 15 around the time, and I was like, nah, it's okay. Can't move out. So my life moved on. I'm still very much proud and gay. My dad still very much doesn't like it, but he just pretends to like it never happened, which, at this point, I really don't care. It's his decision. I mean, if you don't like it, well, sucks, 'cause he's got a gay kid, I'm now a junior, going to be a senior soon. I guess you can say living here hasn't been easy at all. My dad has become like this dictator. I mean, he's always been a dictator, so what am I saying becoming? But it's been like, it's been bad. My therapist and I've talked many times about it, and she has recommended me, like, that I move out. I can move in with my brother, a relative or anybody that I feel comfortable enough to move in with, that she's said I could, leave. And there's been times where I've decided, like, maybe I should move in with my brother. He still has this option open. His wife has agreed that she even wants me to move in with them. And it was a very shocking point in time where, like, even, like, my sister-in-law, she had told my brother that she wanted me to move in with them, because even they both knew how bad it is here with my dad. So yeah, I've had instances where my father has been very I guess you can say, like, mentally abusive, because that's what it is. It's mental abuse, it's emotional abuse. It's something that I've lived with for my whole life, and like And not just only me, it's been my brother, it's been my mom, like, we've all lived with it, and my mom and I still do, but my mom, she doesn't want to leave, which upsets me, but then, it's because, like, I don't want to leave her, I don't want to leave her behind. I would feel very guilty if I left her here all by herself, you know, with my dad, so I stick around, and I live through it, I deal with, you know, the insults, the put downs, the, you know, the all the emotional abuse, everything that I experience, I deal with it, because I love my mom, and I can't leave her behind, you know, but, I don't know, this podcast segment episode has taken a turn. I wasn't planning on talking about my life story or whatever like that. It was more of a just, I was planning it to be more like, oh, like, you know, we all feel sadness, type of shit. But, I guess my brain decided, like, you know, let's give them a little input on what's going on in life, stuff like that. But I guess my advice for tonight, today, whatever time it is in your time zone right now, it's 3 a.m. My advice for anybody that's possibly going through the same thing, talk to who you think you can talk to. Tell someone, because keeping quiet about it, it's not going to solve the problem. It's not going to help you in any way possible. It's not going to magically go away. I thought this, you know, this would magically go away, but, you know, it's not. Your depression, your anxiety, whatever mental health issues you're going through right now, it's not going to go away unless you get help. And if you believe that you're gonna get through this alone, I promise you, you're not gonna be able to. Like, I don't want to put anybody down, but what I'm trying to say is, like, you can get through this, but I highly, highly recommend that you get someone, at least one person, at least, whether it's your best friend that you trust with your whole heart and know that won't hurt you or anything like that, or is your parent or your sibling, someone. Talk to someone. Tell them how you feel. And if they put you down or whatever, find someone that won't. Find someone, because I promise you, it'll get better. If you get that help, it'll get better. And if you're in the same situation as I am, and if you're both your parents, like, if you're both parents are like my dad or worse, guys, I'm sorry that you're going through that. I'm so, 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 so sorry from the bottom of my heart that you are going through this, and you probably feel alone. You probably do feel alone, and I know that because I feel alone sometimes. I felt alone for a good majority of my life. I'm telling you now, guys, find someone. You can reach out to me if you want to. I will probably set up some social media accounts, so you guys, listeners, can reach out to me. And just, guys, please find someone to talk to, because I guarantee you, it will be so much better. I know it's hard. I know you're scared. I know you feel like, no, nobody's going to help me. Nobody's going to be able to trust me. Nobody's going to believe me, or whatever the situation it is, whatever you're going through your head right now about the situation at hand, know that there will be someone that will listen. There is someone that would happily listen to you. You just have to find that person, and then things will slowly get better. You know, yes, you're gonna go through some hard patches. I still do. Things, like, I will admit, things are still hard. They're gonna be hard. I promise you. But they're 100% way better than it used to be. Because I have gained an alliance with my mom. She has gained my trust, and I have gained her trust, and we have a great relationship now. I have regained my brother. I have some amazing friends, and Yeah, I did lose people that I love and care about, but it's bound to happen, and the best thing you can do is live in the moment, live in happiness, like live in the moment, gain, make happy memories. Don't let the bad memories, the evil memories, the dark memories take control, because they don't deserve your beautiful brain. They don't deserve it. And I know it's, we're probably like, oh, I want to erase these back. No, I don't think, I personally, no matter how much pain anybody goes through, I don't think anybody should erase their bad memories, because regardless, we learn a lesson through them. We learn a lesson through these lessons, through these bad memories. We learn what not to be, what to do, what not to do. I've learned that I don't want to be a parent like my dad. I learned that I in the future, whenever I decide to have kids, that I need to be this way, not this way, or I need to act like this and not like this, because I don't want my kids to have to go through what I did, because what I went through, it was hard. It's still hard, and I cannot imagine people going through worse situations. I feel like my situation is so light, personally. But I've learned that you shouldn't think about that either. You shouldn't think like that either. Don't think that your situation's so light compared to others. Believe that your situation is hard, and you can earn, like, you can fight through this. You can get through this and achieve your dream. Don't let nobody stop you from achieving your dream, whether it's your parent or your friends or your siblings or your significant other. No matter who the person is, don't let them from stopping stop don't let them stop you from achieving your dreams. Do what you need to do to achieve your dreams. Don't take dirty tricks, but like, what I mean is, like, do what you have to do. Study hard if you have to. Don't study if you have to. Like, do what you need to do so you can achieve your dreams, because nobody else is gonna do it for you. That's my best message out there for you guys. Anyways, thank you guys for listening to my podcast tonight. I hope you guys have a beautiful day, a beautiful evening, a beautiful morning, a beautiful week, beautiful month, beautiful year, whatever it is. And yeah, I'm sorry if I'm sweating a lot. I feel like I'm like, I just came over a sickness, and I have like a something in my throat, and it's been like kind of rough on me right now. But yeah, I hope you guys have a good time, and thank you again for listening to the podcast. There will be more episodes coming in. I've been slacking, and I've been like in and out of this, I guess, slump. So yeah. Have a good night, have a good morning, have a good day. Have a good ride to work, have a good ride to school, have a good ride from work to home. Wherever you're going, wherever you're doing, have a good time doing it. And yeah, I will be dropping soon a social media account. I don't know, I haven't done it yet. But I will be dropping probably a Snapchat account, so listeners can hit me up and give me topics that they want me to talk about or whatever. It's up to you guys. But yeah, have a good night, guys. Bye.